This is the Netzpolitik podcast. I'm Andrea Götzke and I'm here with Tobias Eigen, the founder of Cabissa. Tobias, what is Cabissa?
Thank you. It's very nice to be on your podcast. Thank you. Cabissa is a nonprofit organization. We're about 8 years old. We are consider ourselves a technology partner for African civil society, and we have about 1,100 member organizations throughout Africa, and we're here at the Web2 for Dev conference because we are very passionate about empowering African civil society organizations with the innovative communications technologies, and Web 2.0 has a fantastic potential for that. And so first of all, to take a step back, civil society is our focus. Civil society is very important for us because we're trying to contribute to promoting democracy and really revolutionizing the lives of people and societies in Africa for the better. And in Africa, the governments are weak or unresponsive to the needs of the people, and private sector also. And to make those behave, you need to have civil society, and this is something that I've been passionate about for a long time, and partially because of the influence of my father, who is Peter Eigen and is the founder of Transparency International, and he lives in Berlin, and he's been working with civil society for many years, and I'm a true believer in promoting civil society, and. He takes on corruption fighting as the tool, and I take on technology and access to information and access to opportunities through information and communication technologies. So the history of Cabissa has been an interesting one. We started in Nigeria when I was a consultant and helped 10 human rights organizations in 5 cities to get connected to the internet and to email in particular. And this was in 1999, and Abacha had just died, and there was a new space for change in Nigeria that was provided by the situation. There were about to be elections, and human rights organizations were coming out and were beginning to speak out, but were disconnected from one another, were disconnected from the international community, they were working in isolation. And the World Organization Against Torture sought to bring them into global discussions through email. And during that process, I found out from them that they wanted websites as well. And I realized that website hosting for human rights organizations and civil society organizations in Africa would be a very positive thing. So that was the germinating idea for Cabissa. And then a couple years later, we realized that organizations weren't doing well enough with this. And so we added a training program, and we developed a very sophisticated workshop and curriculum for helping organizations to come online, to learn about the internet, and to prioritize the internet, and to learn everything they need to do to take the steps to success on the internet, and to integrate the internet into everything that they do. And so that training program has been quite successful. We've trained several hundred organizations, and through the Training of Trainers program as well. But unfortunately, we still haven't seen the revolutionary change, right? There are still problems in Africa. Civil society is still weak. Civil society organizations are still disconnected. You have to be in the capital city. You have to be part of a major network, and you have to have access to the donors and the relationships that you build up personally in order to get the support you need, in order to build the coalitions and to do work. And so we are now looking at civil society and Web 2.0, and over the last year we've been researching it, and we're looking into it and trying to get a handle on what the opportunities are for civil society groups. And so we have a research paper that we've published on our wiki. It's accessible at cabissa.org/wiki, cabissa.org/wiki. And we also have a blog, and we've learned a great deal about it. And also in the process, we've learned that organizations are, in fact, not yet really doing the blogging and using the social networking tools and so on for their mission as one would hope. And they are still seeing it as kind of something that isn't for them. They still consider the internet as kind of a luxury, and if they're able to get anything out of it, then they're satisfied. I'm generalizing. I mean, there are obviously exceptions to this, but largely, the Web 2.0 is still being used in Africa for personal things and for keeping together with families and friends, making friends and that kind of thing, and sharing photographs. But you don't see it being used very actively yet for sharing human rights information, for building networks, for building up the credibility of civil society practitioners in Africa. And this is why we have, and this is why we've created our online community website, which is based on open source principles, Creative Commons principles, and which incorporates a lot of the philosophies behind the Web 2.0 movement. There are many activists in North America and Europe and other parts of the world who are making terrific use of these innovative new technologies, open standards, and we would like to bring these to African civil society and employ them for the benefits of a benefit of African civil society organizations. And in a way, I've realized also during the discussions at the conference that there's almost a need, because of the perceptions of Web 2.0 as a technical buzz-ridden kind of concept. It's still intimidating. Everything is still confusing for many organizations. So I've decided that we need to be subversive about it. We need to create a platform that organizations will come and use simply because it is so useful that they can't help themselves. And it's in the same way that Yahoo is so useful as an email platform that everybody needs to have an email account. And this is true for Africa as well. Everybody needs to have a Yahoo account because it's just so user-friendly, or Gmail or whatever it is. And same with Flickr. It's very hard to avoid using Flickr or other sites like this because they're just so useful. And so we would like to see our website develop into a resource like this that will make African organizations look so great that they will be compelled to come and use it and to update their profiles and to add all the people that work for their organizations and add their news, and they will see the benefits coming in the form of contacts from potential supporters, potential partners, potential beneficiaries who are looking for collaboration and looking for their help. And the site is based on Drupal, which is a fantastic open source platform which is coming into its own right now. It's extraordinarily powerful. It has extraordinarily rich set of features that can be turned on and off, and which are remarkably useful for, in particular, advocacy organizations that want to create an interactive Web 2.0 type community. And one of the modules that you can turn on with Drupal is CiviCRM. And CiviCRM is effectively an address book, you could say, but with a lot of very, very powerful features, and including creating relationships between individuals and individuals and organizations, and also hooks that can be put on the front end of the site so that you can allow people to sign up for different activities, do different things, really almost to create a website and to do things the way you would do it on Facebook, where you can express affiliation for one another and more. So, and the first stage of the site will be coming out in the next month or so, and initially it will be to provide blogging and profiles for organizations, and potentially an innovative pathway through the site, so organizations will be able to see what's happening in their locale. So you could go to Kenya and see what all the organizations are doing in Kenya, and see what news is happening, what new members have joined, and what the landscape is like for civil society in Kenya, or maybe in the city, or maybe even in a rural area. And in the future, we'd like to look into bringing in new functionality. There's so many potentials, including things like doing map overlays so that you can see the members on a map of their local community or of all of Africa, and there's other things. And but one aspect that, and the other one is mobile phones integration, so that people can provide their mobile phone, and then they can receive alerts and they can send in SMS messages. There are other, you know, potential, very real potentials, such as voicemail for organizations, voicemail for groups, voicemail for locales, so that you could say, go to Nairobi and you know, dial into the system from using your local SMS, your local phone, mobile phone, and through a voice activated system or some, or punching in numbers, you can listen to messages that are for you, messages that are for your city, or messages that are for your country, or maybe messages that are just for women's rights organizations or just for microfinance organizations. And you can leave your messages as well through this. I mean, these kinds of things are really possible, and it's really only a matter of looking at the needs of the organizations. And so for that, what we're looking at is, and encouraging the participants that are dealing with Africa here to do, is to set up a Web 2.0 working group, so that the enthusiasts that get it and that are doing things around Web 2.0 in Africa, we can get them together and get them to discuss and brainstorm and look at the needs and look at the possibilities in their communities, look at what civil society groups are doing in their communities, and ultimately become a cadre of experts that can help to bring this technology to the civil society organizations in their communities. So they are working with the civil society groups already, many of them. They already see the frustrations. They need tools to communicate the possibilities to the organizations, and they need to convince the perhaps executive director that she needs to start blogging, that they need to have a wiki, or that they need to create some kind of online network for their particular purpose. But these are things that are up to them to decide, and Kabisa can help by providing the platform and by bringing everybody together at kabisa.org.
Looking at the examples that already exist, or your network of organizations, can you share an example of a group that is already like that would be already an inspiring example, or that maybe even before the relaunch of your website?
Sure. No, absolutely. I mean, the reason for the website is the inspiration for it is coming from the examples that I'm seeing, and one that I have been talking about a lot here at Web2 for Dev is greenlightnigeria.org. which is an election blog, an audio blog, created by a Nigerian civil society group, and it was very, very active during the month or so when the election was taking place in Nigeria last February. And what they did is they created a WordPress blog. When WordPress is open source software, you can download it for blogging. And installed a module for presenting audio, probably much the way this podcast is going to look on on your blog. And then they went and looked into different ways to get people to provide oral testimony to what was going on in the during the election. So they looked into a lot of different things. The one that worked best was to have volunteers that went around to the polling places, and they took pictures. They used Flickr. They created a tag, by the way, for Greenlight Nigeria and for the Nigerian election, so that they could gather Flickr pictures around the election of, you know, polling stations and so on. They interviewed people. They put up video and audio. And there's some pretty moving testimony there. You can hear some pretty interesting stories. And the idea really was not to provide scientific election monitoring or to validate or invalidate the election, but it was to provide a way for oral storytelling for people, so that you could hear what was happening on the ground, and maybe if the elections were going very poorly, to be able to have some testimony about what was happening there, and it's very, very exciting. And some of the other things they did is they used evoca.com, which is a Web2 audio site where you can put a badge on your blog and allow people to to basically use their computer to leave a message. And so if you have Java on your computer and a microphone, you could leave a message, and then you could post that message on your blog. They also set up a system where you could call into a number, and unfortunately there were no numbers in Nigeria available, and they didn't have time or resources to set this kind of thing up. But they wanted to, so they put up numbers in the UK and in the US, and people called in and left messages. You just leave, it's like leaving a voicemail message, and then they received that through the internet and were able to evaluate it, look at it, and then put it up on the blog. So that's kind of, for me, that's kind of a classic example of an interesting strategy for using Web 2.0. And they did it very quickly. Where this becomes exciting to me is that if you show this technology to an established organization that is already doing election monitoring, is already involved in election monitoring, they can build this into their strategy for monitoring the election. And they can plan it into, at the beginning, they can provide the cell phone numbers to dial into, do marketing on the radio. They could have people calling in from all over the place to provide their testimony. It could be recorded and shared. And then after the election, they could also then train up their people to make sure that it's working well and that they're able to get testimony from everywhere. And then after the election, they could use it in their analysis and decide in their reporting afterwards on how the election went. And I think that is very, very valuable. And I think it's when the tools are integrated into the powerful work of existing organizations that have their existing plans and programs that it becomes especially meaningful. It's one thing for enthusiasts who get Web 2 to go and set things up on a shoestring basis and to do it, to demonstrate it. But it becomes powerful when organizations do it.
Now we looked into all the opportunities, but what are the challenges that you see?
Challenges. Yes. Well, I'm just buying time. I think the principal issue with Africa is always going to be connectivity. And I think there's also the issue of the real barrier of jargon. So we really need to keep the message simple when we're trying to convince people to use this technology, and focus more on the actual needs of the organizations and be responsive to what they're asking for, and to also but don't be completely irresponsible about that. If they ask you for a big fancy website and you're listening to them and it's apparent that they have no idea what they're going to put on the website or who's going to take care of it once it's running, then maybe you should tell them they should set up a blog instead. Or maybe they're not ready for a website and you should send them to Kabisa and set up a profile on Kabisa where they can present themselves in a very attractive profile and get maybe most of the benefits until they are ready to come up with a plan and maybe a proposal to a donor for developing a website. That to me, it's the lack of understanding of what the tools can do is probably the biggest hurdle for organizations, and that comes obviously directly from the lack of access. And in America, in Europe, where we live in luxury, and we are the smallest part of the world's population, and we forget over here that in Africa bandwidth is low, connectivity is challenging, and it's not like organizational leaders have time and interest in playing around with the new tools to learn them. So that's why I'm talking about subverting them and just giving them what they need, and in the process maybe showing them some things when they're looking at their profile they can see a little RSS feed icon, and then they'll wonder what that's about, and then they'll click on it, and then they'll see, wow, this is an RSS feed, and then they can then learn about RSS readers and how to deal with the information overload problem by creating an RSS reader account somewhere. And these types of things, I think, are valuable. The tools are valuable, but the information overload makes organizational leaders believe that they're being asked to do something extra. and they don't have time for that. They have really difficult conditions that they're working under, and it's not also not just connectivity, but it's also just getting around is a challenge, you know, just even traffic and getting to an office, the logistics of running a functioning organization in Africa, in particularly in the areas where they're needed most, in the rural areas, is an enormous challenge. And so anything that we can do to make them feel at ease, to make them feel at home, to make them feel like they're joining a community of their own peers and their own neighbors is going to be immensely helpful.
Okay, so to sum up, you would say that Web 2 for development is a true statement?
Yes, but I would also say that if we want to make it a reality, that we should throw that term around with caution.
Okay, thank you, Tobias.
Oh, you're most welcome.